Can you hear me through the mic?
I
can't hear me through the mic? Testing? Testing?
Yeah.
Now you can. All right, I'd like to call the September 15th, goodness, how can it be September 15th already? Meeting of the Claremont County Public Library Board of Trustees, called meeting to order. It is 6:03 for reference in the minutes. May I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Doss?
I am here.
Mr. Ramos?
Here.
Ms. Waite?
Here.
Ms. Kosika?
Here.
Mr. Humphrey?
Here.
Ms. Fox?
Here.
Ms. Schluter?
Here.
Thank you. All right, let's rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, I'm looking for a motion to approve the August 18th, 2025 minutes as mailed. Do I have a motion?
If there are no corrections, I'll make that motion.
All right, Mr. Humphrey makes a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Ms. Fox, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion passes. And do we have any public participation on the list? No public participation. Thank you. All right, we have a couple of guest presentations tonight, but we do not have all of our guest presenters here. So we are, while we're waiting for them to arrive, we're going to go ahead and skip ahead. Mr. Ramos, to the BOT brief.
So I was doing some research on the Ohio Attorney General's site and found something a little bit interesting. I thought a board of library trustees may accept common and or preferred stocks and or bonds as a specific request upon the conditions connected with such requests. In other words, somebody can donate stocks and bonds and have a specific condition on those, and we can still accept those. The monies coming into the hands of the clerk of the Board of Library Trustees derived from the sale of gifts or bequests of stocks or bonds may not, unless permitted by the terms of the gift or request, be invested in securities other than as provided by the Ohio Revised Code. So I know we typically have gifts from different people, and I don't know how often we get gifts with conditions on them, but according to the Ohio Attorney General, we can accept those and work within those gifts, or work within those conditions.
So if we had a donation of stocks and bonds that said, we're going to donate these if you put them into, you sell them and put them into your fund that you say that we're not allowed to do, how would that work?
I didn't research that.
I mean, that would seem to be contradictory to the law, though, correct? Like,
well,
so
right.
We would have to be able to say, we would have to say to that donee or donor, where
the point, I think, is that you're allowed to, in general, you're not allowed to invest in stocks and bonds,
mm-hmm.
but if you receive them as a bequest, you can hold on to them and use the proceeds from them, if you wish to, for the furtherment of the library. So can't buy them, but you can accept them as a gift and use them as their.
But you couldn't sell them.
You could sell them.
And then invest that into, based on what
you invest. Once you sell them, then it becomes, I would think, it becomes under the rules. You can't buy a stocks and bonds, so once you sell them, they become cash. And I probably anything that they said as a requirement of the fund could be still in effect.
Unless the donee says, you can sell these, but then you're in a situation where what you have to do is sell them and reinvest them if the condition is to maintain them in an investment-type situation.
Yeah. You shouldn't reinvest in stocks and bonds.
Are you saying, Ernie, I thought you said it was, you could, if they came with a condition, okay, for instance, if they said, we want a new library site at such and so, or somewhere within the county, okay, and stocks and bonds and whatnot, And we can accept that with that condition. And then we, why couldn't we then sell that and place the proceeds in the construction fund for that particular branch, for that particular facility that they're asking for?
I would think you could do that unless, unless they said you can't, unless part of the condition was that you could not sell it. And you could invest in, you know, a lot of people...
The proceeds or the interest or whatever from
right.
them?
Yeah.
Okay, so that they would give them to us and then there's the proceeds and the proceeds could only be used towards the construction of a new facility or...
whatever the condition was that
okay.
they put on.
Okay.
I think it's important to understand that though because I don't know if we've ever been gifted sovereign bond.
We have a dividend that we get.
We have a dividend.
That according to the former fiscal officer, was we were getting it before she came on. It's like $34.10 every 6 months.
And it's a dividend for what?
From the railroad, the North Fork Southern Railroad, and specifically to the Milford branch.
Right.
And
but I don't, we don't have any paperwork or anything.
Because it goes back so far, we don't know what conditions were attached to that. So I think that that's, like, even though that's not common that we get stocks and bonds donated, it's important to know what questions to ask of the individual who is donating that so that we know the conditions and can abide by the law and the conditions of the donation. So that's a good
And obviously,
good
document the conditions
mm-hmm.
so that down the road, people
right,
know
if we get
what the limitations
okay.
are.
Five fiscal officers down the road. 2050. No.
So $34.10 every 6 months?
About every 6 months.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
It's not much.
Go back to the beginning of time.
It's
to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. We tried to call at one time to even get the name and address on there changed because it was going to the Batavia address. And finally got the address changed, but I couldn't get any other further information from them because my name was not on there as the person who had accepted that.
All right. Good info. Thank
yeah.
you.
That's all.
All right. I see we've had some additional guests join. Do we know if we're full for one or the other? Or?
This is our America 250,
okay.
Jeanette Maxey and Sarah Gleason. Regarding the mural in Williamsburg.
So let's go ahead and skip to their presentation in the interest of time. We don't want you to have to sit through an entire meeting here. So I'm going to be cognizant of our schedule.
Are you, there may be a little bit confusing because this happened so late. Are you presenting or are you here to just specifically answer questions?
We're just here to answer any questions if there is any information. I know you have the latest copy of the design, so we were answering any questions. I can answer on behalf of CDD. She's more of handling more of our legal type of things, so
So can you give us just the Cliff Notes version, high level, just to make sure everybody's on the same page of what we're talking about here, this
yeah,
proposal?
Sure, sure.
Thank you.
I'll introduce myself. My name is Jeanette Maxey, and I'm an attorney who's been helping the Claremont County Commission of Visitors Bureau with the different mural projects that have been going on in Claremont County. I don't know if any of you are familiar with them, but St. New Richmond. It's just finishing up or has finished up in the last few days. Pretty close to the end.
Yeah, it's finished.
It is finished. Yeah. The Bethel mural was on the Ben Franklin store, if you all have seen it. There was recently a mural put in on RJ Cinema, the cows, things like that. In Miami Township, I believe that one is closed.
Right across the street here on Bucky, it's the Miami Township one, yeah, for the community park, yeah.
Yes, in the park and it's on the new fitness area they put in. And so we've been working on the American 250 project and there's various organizations have been giving money for this particular one. There would be money coming from the village of Williamsburg, from Claremont County itself, from the commission. Bureau as well. I think that covers all of them. And
I have been working, part of the reason I was late is I'm trying to work with Ms. Jenny Nichols of the prosecutor's office to review the easement agreement, which is what I guess the board's considering this evening, the actual easement agreement. There's been a depiction that's circulated and just sent to Chris a little while ago and the rest of the committee that did have the email addresses for the little logos on the side.
I think we need to back up just a little bit. So this is part of the Claremont America 250 celebration for the anniversary of the birth of our country. And a mural project was created in the county as part of that. And we were approached not that long ago, but enough time for the building committee to discuss using our Williamsburg branch as a mural site. So this is the latest rendering. There's just a few other little touch-ups, but I added one on your desktop today. Doesn't include the logos from the CVB and Claremont County and Connect Claremont on there.
This is an updated
one. I don't know if Mary Jo, you want to report out as part of the building committee or kind of giving a summary of the
one with their logos.
Everybody else, nobody else is familiar with this proposal.
Thank you.
Here, do you need it?
I think maybe she's going to let it pass around because that's the most recent image we didn't have a chance to bring.
Could I just confirm that you are the author of this agreement that you're asking us to come into?
I drafted it, and Ms. Jenny Nichols at the prosecutor's office.
When I read it in its entirety, and when I heard your name, I thought that you were the author of it.
I have some questions. I do want to say that the building committee will be making a presentation later in our meeting to talk about this and to talk about their recommendations to the full board on whether we should entertain this and go forward with this or not. So that's not the discussion I want to get into right now because that's for later. But I have questions about the agreement. So my understanding is this would be for an initial 10 years and then a renewal for 2 5-year periods, at which point maintenance, everything for this mural would then be on the library after that point, right? Mm-hmm. Up until that point, the commission, committee, whomever's the entity that would be maintaining this would be maintaining if there's any damage to the mural. If there's graffiti, and I understand that you guys have said we've not had incidents of graffiti, let's just play devil's advocate and say let's plan for the worst so we can be pleasantly surprised. In worst case scenario, somebody comes up and spray paints something very obscene on the side of our building, how long is it going to take you guys to come out or the entity to come out and fix that? How long is that going to be on our library building until it's corrected?
Let me review the document really quickly. I don't recall off the top of my head if I have a date, amount of days.
Yeah, because that's not something we want to have stay on the building. That's something that should be remediated as soon as possible. And then are we going to be responsible for covering it up until, you know, the powers that be come out and fix it and clean it up?
I do not see a timeline in here that's required. I don't think it's, I will just be honest, I don't think it's practical that it's going to be like 24 hours or something like that. I don't know if that's going to be feasible. So if that's a point that you guys want to discuss, then you can discuss and propose something.
Okay. And then the $500, my other question here is for discussion later. Sorry, I just need to make a note. For the $500, that's the amount that the library is responsible for. Is that an annual $500? It's like, what? Can somebody tell me more about what does that entail?
Okay.
What does that cover?
Okay. I took that out of the prior agreement.
Okay.
And that is no longer in there.
So we will not be responsible for any dollar amounts. Our sole responsibility will be to ensure the access for visibility. So if we keep the grass cut, can't plant any trees, can't do anything else in front of that wall, whichever wall is chosen, if we decide to
go forward. Okay, I will clarify that it does say in the document that after the term is over,
mm-hmm.
that the grantor, which is the board, library board, is responsible for removing it.
Correct.
That,
so that could be in 10 years, that could be 10 years plus a 5-year extension, that could be 10 years plus a 5-year plus 5-year extension. So we're
right.
talking anywhere 10, 15, or 20 years down the road. We are responsible for removing the mural or doing whatever we want to do with the mural. It's on us. Was that $500 an estimate of how much it would cost to, like, sandblast it or something? Or?
If that has worked in other agreements to make other property owners feel like it could be a dollar amount that they could handle. And that was supposed to be an annual, like annual cap, like $500 per year. So we took that out of this.
Okay.
I think that was more related to, if I remember our meeting, it's more related to, say, debris or dust got up from cutting the lawn or something like that, that it would be our responsibility to remove dust or debris, but actually repairing the mural would not be our responsibility. But like you said, it's not to remove the mural, it's just to keep maintenance for just
visibility.
Building up people.
Visibility. One last question that you just made me think of then. If we have to do any repairs to the building itself on the wall that the mural is housed, and during the course of that, and we're within our 10-year, 15-year, 20-year, whatever that might be, window, and it's structural that we have to do to the building that could potentially cause damage to the mural, is that acceptable under the contract because we're having to fix something structurally on the building itself?
Well, the way it is written, if any repairs made to the artwork, the Commission of District Bureau shall be responsible for maintaining and repairing the artwork. That's what it says.
So if we have to do something and we're doing our best, you know, not to damage the mural, but we've got to do some kind of repair. I mean, let's go crazy here and think worst case scenario. Somebody drives a car into the side of the building, you know, hits the, like, whatever it might be, and we've got brickwork that has to be replaced. That's obviously going to damage the mural. So we are not going to be held liable or in breach of contract or anything like that because that's something outside of our control that we have to fix.
Right.
And then we would call you guys to come in and fix the mural. Okay.
It says that the Commission Bureau should be responsible for maintaining and in this way repairing the artwork.
Got it. I just wanted to make sure that was clear. All right. I've been a hog with questions, so I will stop and open it up. Looks like Ms. Kasika has a question or two.
How many political subdivisions in Claremont County have you entered into an agreement for this 250 celebration?
Okay, Sarah, help me remember if I forget any.
And since it's right across the street on Buckley at the Miami Township Park that I believe is operated, you can help me with this, Ed, it's operated by the Park Recreation Commission for Miami Township, but it belongs. But it belongs to the Board of Trustees?
My understanding is it is both owned by and operated by the Board of Trustees, but they have a park group that...
Through that.
Yeah, that reports to them.
Okay.
So it's not a separate committee or a separate group that does parks.
It's not a separate.
That agreement, that easement agreement is signed by the Board of the Miami Township.
Yep.
That's who...
And have they ratified it?
Yeah, it's been done for months.
Theirs was done in June, so right across the street at Buckley. Yeah, that one has been
That was the first one. That was actually done.
So how many murals do you have, I think, is the question.
I have to count. New Richmond, Bethel, Miami Township, Union Township, which is where the RJ Cinema is. Milford is in the works.
But are these with those political subdivisions and not with private sector within the political subdivisions? I'm not looking for locations.
Okay.
I'm looking for how many political subdivisions have agreed to participate or whatever the committee has come up with for ideas.
The city of Milford, we're not finished, but generally speaking, has agreed to it.
Okay.
And the Miami Township Board has signed that agreement that's been recorded.
Union Township was a public-private, so that was through Union Township, but on a private building with Jungle Gym. And then New Richmond was a private building.
So most of the issues are with private sector, correct?
It's split amongst
how many programs are there?
There's seven.
Just seven programs within
Prairie
County?
Seven murals? What program?
So City of Milford, the mural's going to be going on a City of Milford property.
It's going to go on a property?
Owned by the City of Milford.
Okay, got that.
That's gone for City Council.
The same thing is true for Loveland. Up in Loveland, that's going to be on city property. That's through city council as well for Loveland. Miami Township was the same thing through the township trustees.
Union Township, the agreement was actually signed with the CIC, the Claremont County
Improvement Corporation.
That's who signed that legal document.
So not by political entity.
Yeah, it is. I would say that is a governmental related. That is not a private entity. That I would consider that to be a underneath the county.
Is the installation across the street, is that a wrap?
That's
a wrap. How many of these murals are painted versus wrapped?
Only two of them are going to be wrapped.
Okay. Just because of the nature of the structure.
That was the nature of the structure and the technique of the artist.
Got it. Okay.
The artist that would be doing the Williamsburg Library, the one who did the Bethel, if you're familiar with the Bethel, Ben Franklin project.
That's this one that was in your packet.
The American flag and the Burnett.
And I can speak, I won't say on like as far as the turnaround time with vandalism regarding your comment there, but he is a local artist. So as far as that goes, he is a local guy who, you know, it's not like we're flying someone in to make these changes if there is vandalism or something like that. He's a local guy that could probably address it.
He understands the concern, you know, not
that
we don't want.
It's our concern as well.
I don't want to hog the questions. Any other questions?
You can see the one across the street as you're pulling out the lane. It's directly across the street.
On the workout equipment.
Soccer kids. When I come in before, what you have to do is play dodgem with the parents picking up or parking their children at whatever. So. I got a good look at that.
And the original artwork is actually hanging in my mother's.
Last question. It looks like on the revised image that there are logos for various, and I apologize, I didn't have a chance to review that additional detail of what those logos are.
Yes, those are representative of the people that are funding the project. So it's the Claremont Convention Bureau. It is the Village of Williamsburg logo. Connect Claremont and the county. Claremont County is probably the biggest one in particular.
And the Claremont Connect.
And Claremont County. Okay. And those logos follow the same guidelines of some year old with regards to timeline and
the agreement. So those murals are actually going to be, it's going to be a wrap, a sticker through our local printers here. So all of our murals that are out right now that are finished, those are all wrapped with a sticker that can be replaced pretty quickly.
Okay, so those logos are a sticker.
I think sticker is the wrong word.
Well,
it's a really high end.
Yeah. A vinyl wrap.
Exactly.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But those stay with the mural for the full length of the agreement, that 10, 15, 20 years, at which point we can peel those off, we're good to go.
Exactly.
But they stay with the same timeline as the mural. Okay. I appreciate your patience. Well, I had a lot of questions. I'm going to go around the room here one more time, knowing that we're going to have additional discussion with the building committee on other components of this, but any other questions? Going once, going twice. All right. Thank you, ladies. We appreciate the time. Drive safely. Traffic is a little nutty still out there, I think. Okay. Still nothing with regards to...
She has had a conflict and she will not be. She's been coming next time, she hopes.
Okay, so we are going to, and that's with both of them?
Thank you.
I have two names here.
Heather Harlan from Bradley Payne.
Okay, got it. Makes sense. All right, so just let the minutes. Okay, just let the minutes show that our agenda item F is in front, is going to be delayed, hopefully, to the October meeting. Check. All right. Next, we have our fiscal officer's report.
We have the August 2025 financial report, the bank reconciliation, check register, the month-to-date, year-to-date bank and fund report, the end-of-month balancing report, the PLF, which I emailed everyone, the new PLF figures and gave Judy a copy there. We have the housekeeping resolution as well as the check description. And then last but not least, we have the revenue and expense sheet for August. Debbie is going to give us our fiscal officer's report. Fiscal officer.
The fiscal officer attended the building committee meeting. The fiscal office has started the budget process for 2026. The RC2 review was returned by Jenny Nichols, and we are working to add the changes that she suggested. The fiscal officer is also participating in the HR specialist interviews. We're continuing with all of our documentation, and both the fiscal officer and deputy have been attending managers' meetings and the support department meeting.
Debbie and I also met with Jennifer Hartley and Greg Gentile from the County Auditor's Office to go over some things related to our Certificate of Estimated Resources, get some additional training on that, make sure that we had our ducks in a row there. And we also,
We haven't heard that.
Oh, yes, the 2024 audit has not been released yet from the Auditor's Office. So. They're still working on that.
But we paid their bill, right?
I'm sorry? No, they haven't paid their bill yet.
I thought I saw it in the...
Was that for 2023?
That was 2023.
It was 2024. I know.
Did it say that?
Yep.
There is another small bill from the auditor's office. This one is for the... you had Milhoff's Day. There's one from the auditor's office for them to review. It's a small one. We haven't paid that one yet, but I just got it actually today. So I'm expecting that to mean they're wrapping that up.
All right. Any questions for our fiscal office?
Yep, the RC2 changes that Jenny is suggesting, they'll come back to the committee that approved them for review, and we'll have that committee again, or to the board, or will they just be done administratively?
I believe the committee has said that they would be accepted upon the review of the prosecutor's office.
Okay.
Yes, but it will be distributed to the board in our packet so we can see what those are. And then if there's any concerns, then we could go from there. Yeah.
As I recall, the only thing is to make an identical change that Ed had already suggested, but it had...
For the retention time.
Well, what she looked at is she saw a few things that she thought maybe were duplicates, so we're looking at it again.
Okay.
And Judy, did you say you had saw that? I want to make sure we have the right.
You just keep talking, I'll find it.
No, I don't want to do that because you'll find all kinds of things if I do that.
I would have called you.
Okay.
Sure. All right, are we ready to do some motions? Or do we want to wait, Ms. Kasika, until you find what line item you were thinking of?
Oh, no.
Don't wait on you? Okay.
If we paid it, we paid it, right? But,
yeah. All right. So I'm looking for a motion to approve the August 2025 financial reports as submitted, or a motion to approve the August 2025 financial reports. Do I have a motion?
So moved, Humphrey.
All right, Mr. Humphrey makes a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Good one tight. just wait a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion passes. Thank you.
Judy, you're correct. I see it on here. It says 2024 Odyssey's Mohawk Day. The one I'm talking about is there was a new one came in today from the state of Ohio auditor. It's a small fee for. You're correct, though. Good eye. Thank you.
So we did it.
Oh,
that's
so good. I don't
forget my glasses. All right. I'm looking for a motion to approve the August 2025 bills paid. Do I have a motion, please?
So moved.
All right. Mr. Ramos makes a motion. Do I have a second?
Second. Box.
Ms. Box seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion passes. Third one we're looking for is a motion to approve the August 2025 bill paid to Anthem only.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Ms. Kasika makes
second.
A motion. Mr. Humphrey seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Let the minutes show that I abstain. No conflict of interest here. All right, moving on. Director's report.
Hey. First thing on the report is a funding update. The legislature's back in session. They were back in Columbus last week and are actively working on issues like property taxes. As far as we know, the library materials language has not been brought up. That does not mean that it cannot be brought up again. I think the public library fund distribution that I gave to you today we got an email from OLC, and I forwarded that to everyone. But it's a good explanation of kind of where we are and what the PLF looks like, and the fact that even though we have a line item amount and we should expect a similar amount every time, it could go up and down depending on the variety of issues that are listed here. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. And Judy, I printed that out for you. Gave that to you. We went to, on September 11th, a presentation by OLC. It was Andrea and Melanie and I. I thought it was a really good presentation, and I think one of the things that impressed upon me was the property tax issue that's happening across the state. I think if you lived up north and your library was up north, you know a lot more about it and hear a lot more about it than we do right now, but I think it's coming. And when I get further through my report, I'll come back to this whole point between the property taxes and the proposed constitutional amendment to eliminate property taxes. Just an update on the cybersecurity program, Casey Ritchie, which is behind me. Casey is, and Lynn and I attended a Cyber Ohio webinar on understanding the Ohio's new cyber law for local governments, and Casey's leading our planning of our cybersecurity program. We have many of these requirements already in place. It's just a question of putting them together as a plan. We do not have to have our plan implemented until July 1. I was talking to Lynn, and she's thinking February the plan will be completed, so we'll be bringing that to the bylaw and policy review committee for review, and then it will come to the whole board, and we should be good to go on that. I do have an update on the outdoor message boards. There is a question of whether or not what kind of sign Goshen can receive, because we had initially received back in 2019 information that Goshen was zoned to be allowed to have a sign, and then more recently we heard they're in a residential area, but Don, he's here tonight, he can update us on that. And I did review for whether or not the project has to be put out for bid. We do not have to put the project out for bid because they are funded individually within the two branches, and we're going to contract separately, so it does not have to be put out for bid. I confirmed that today.
Interesting.
So, Don, can you update what the issue is with the Goshen sign and where we are?
Okay, the Goshen sign, what we're doing right now is waiting for putting in a variance to the zoning department, which our vendor is applying for us. And everything went back to him today for, no, I take that back. It was something else that went back to somebody else today. It will go back to him tomorrow once I have Chris sign off on it. And it will go to him, and he will submit it to the zoning committee. And he feels that there will be no problem. He has gotten all the language from the zoning committee as that needs to be included in there, and that's what he will be working on now.
So my understanding with Goshen Township, the way that they've done their zoning, they no longer have like a in-house zoning inspector. They actually sub out to a company, correct?
Correct.
So this would be going to that company for that review? Is that how that's going to work?
I cannot speak to.
Okay.
All I know is Scott from Sign Graphics he's talked to John, and I've got numerous emails from John that, you know, where they've been in communication and stuff.
Okay. And so does he have a sense of what the turnaround time on that response would be?
Well, we need to have it in as soon as possible because they want to do in their zoning. They have a zoning committee meeting in October. We need to have it in before that.
Okay. So we would get a decision during that zoning committee meeting in October?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe. But we can move forward with the Williamsburg sign now.
Oh, good.
Well, that's a question for building committee discussion, because would that impair the easement to our mural that's being discussed?
No.
Okay.
We were very clear about, we even brought a copy of where the sign is going to go, so to that meeting, and they reviewed it.
Okay, that was not a question that I wanted to ask them, because I didn't know that it technically fell under that easement agreement that you guys already talked to them about.
We did.
That was more for the discussion. Okay,
sign doesn't fall under the easement agreement, but in the meeting with CDD and the people that were there, we showed them on a diagram exactly where the sign will be, and they
didn't
approve, but they didn't object to it because it's not going to interfere or block the sign in any way.
Okay.
But it's not technically a part of the easement agreement.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Humphrey.
My understanding is that Goshen contracted out the staff part of their zoning, but the zoning committee will still vote on it, and as it would have been before, it's just staff they've outsourced.
Got it. Thank you.
Would they have to have a hearing on that?
Yes.
So the zoning committee meeting in October is what we're shooting for to get the approval. And then how long, once we got, I'm going to plan for a positive result and not a negative result like I usually do. If we get that approval, how long will it take to get that sign done, start to finish?
6 to 8 weeks turnaround.
6 to 8 weeks turnaround, including in November, December weather?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what the words that I've gotten on the his written agreement that he sent me so far with the pricing.
Okay. We will keep thinking positive thoughts.
So we can proceed with Williamsburg post haste.
Sounds like.
Okay, website update. You received in your packet a short document to complete a 2 to 3 paragraph on your work experience and professional background and a paragraph on why you chose to volunteer as a trustee for the library. That is to add to our website to kind of beef up our board page. So if you could have that completed and sent to me by October 20th, 2025. Dot was not well today, so she will be here next month to take minutes, and also your photo. So,
look
brush your hair or something.
Look great.
Yeah.
Yeah, since you're home for you.
Can we use other photos since we haven't really changed?
Well, we only have a group photo. This will be an individual.
Well, there were individual photos.
Yes, Mr. Humphrey.
My recommendation is to add a question at the top to talk about personal stuff, like I got 3 kids and that sort of stuff, married to, you know.
Lifetime Miami Township or Claremont County resident, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with
it. Paragraph.
On that,
don't you do it?
I would be fine with that being out. And here, you guys have me to blame for this because I was out looking at Hamilton County's website and looking at their Board of Trustees page. And I'm like, yeah, we can do better. We can, like, because they have a whole page for each one of their trustees. And I'm like, we just have a name and a date. Like, I would like us to be more personal for our residents, right? So it's my fault that this request is coming across. And timing with the new website, I thought it was like awesome. If you don't really want to do it, do it anyway, please. But if you don't want to put personal information on there,
yeah,
I don't have a problem with not wanting to put
personal information
as you want to share. If you want to say I'm a lifelong resident of Claremont County, I mean that's personal, right?
Yep.
My personal branch is the blank branch.
Well, given the fact you have to be a resident of Claremont County in order to be on the Board of Trustees, it's well.
Yeah,
but it doesn't say how long you've been a resident. You could be a transplant from, like, Kentucky. Who knows? I'm being facetious right now. My point is, I think that I think that we should put faces to the names and the dates that are on the board page and let county residents know who's working the library. And I, you know, what was that?
Nothing. What? I think it's a great idea. I think we're probably one of the only libraries that doesn't do it.
Right. Look at Hamilton County. And this is still, I think you guys did a good job with the questions that you picked. Because all I said was, I think we should have bios and pictures of everybody on our trustee page. So you guys came
Shout
up with
Laura
the question.
She put that together.
Yeah. So, Mr. Humphrey, I am completely supportive of adding an additional question there about whatever personal information that particular trustee feels like sharing. But at a minimum, please answer these two. And to the question about can we use other photos, can we use, like, existing...
I'm
like
not sure where those photos are. It would just be so much easier just to have you guys line up and we just take a quick pick. We can look for them, but it would really save us time.
I mean, if we sent them to you?
Oh, well, if you have one to send to us, yeah, that would be fine.
I mean, I think
we just want consistency and the pixels and all of the quality
sure.
of the photo.
That's fair. All right. Are you guys okay with that?
Yeah.
Could you please? Ms. Kasika, please.
I could be absent next month.
I'm with you. I hate to get my picture taken.
It's not that. We've already done all that. And that's just, I mean, why can't it be that it's okay, here's the person, you live in, your geographical area is Goshen Township. You don't have to put your address or your phone number or any of the other kinds of things. This kind of...
I thought you said no.
Yeah, I was ready to take you on. But the other aspect of it is, how many terms or how long have you served on the board? You know, who's the appointing authority to put you on that board? I mean, those are all relevant questions.
And the appointee card is already on there. The term date is on there for the current term, but not how many terms you have served. So you can certainly add that to the little portion of why did you volunteer to be on the board? And you could add that at the end of that little response.
You mean why were you the chosen one?
Why did you choose to volunteer your time uncompensated for the sake of the library? What about the library's important to you? Like, I think that's good to know. But I'm a library nerd, so no. But you can blame me for this.
You're not the only one. It's just nerds come in different packages.
This is true. I'm going to be taking your picture.
Let's put that as a quote. Everybody has a quote.
I got on it because I want to return it to the Dewey Decimal System.
I want a Woodford catalog for my house. That's never going to happen.
Well, we still have Dewey, thank goodness.
So, we could do like our yearbook thing. Mine will be, I will die before I get through my TBR file.
Going up to that magnificent card catalog type of thing and rolling through the alphabet or whatever it is. And then actually physically touching it, realizing that there it is,
With a little stubby pencil and a pull-out shelf.
All right, the next one is Refreshments for Staff Development Day and CCPL Health Fair. So these two events, I'd like to ask the board to approve the purchase of snacks for both of those events. We're expecting a full day, a staff development day this year, and then the health fair is, so we're not going to do lunch. We're going to let people go out and do their own lunch this time. It seemed to be a preference, but we would like to provide snacks and then also our health fair for staff. It's usually you're on a fast, so it's nice to have. We're purchasing snacks for that event. So
I noticed you missed the word healthy.
They're typically healthy fruit, etc.
I'm just saying, you better get the orange juice and bananas and the rest of the
stuff. Do you have a dollar amount that you want to limit it to?
I think we would spend no more than $500 for sure.
For both. Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Mr. Ellis makes the motion, and Ms. Sweet seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? You've got your motion.
Thank you very much.
So not to exceed $500.
Not to exceed.
That's correct.
For both events.
Correct.
Total, yeah.
I am going to ask for an award, though, at least here in Staff Development Day.
Okay.
I am going to at least ask for an award.
She was an Oreo.
I did not say Oreos were not healthy. Instead
of just an apple, I'm going to eat an Oreo,
Judy.
The cool thing is, we're moving into the holidays, right? And Oreos always got those different variations. Yeah. So you get like a pumpkin one. That's like pumpkin one.
That's true.
You can make an argument there.
All right.
We're having
a chaotic now. Okay, so snacks always bring out the best in us.
Next
is strategic planning, and I will turn that over to Andrea to talk about.
Thank you. So we have a draft of the library's next strategic plan, and again, it centers on increasing that visibility and accessibility. Chris and I reviewed it. She provided feedback, and the next step in the process is to present it to the staff. We worked on the community survey to review and then provide their feedback. And the goal is to present a blueprint that incorporates community input, staff insight to strengthen the library's role as an essential and vibrant public resource. So with the goal of having it wrapped up December 15th?
December 1st. For launch.
For launch. So moving it along. And then also Chris gave a kind of the overview of America 250 for Claremont, and then of course the library has America 250 committee that's led by Emily Whitman, and she's created, reviewed those monthly themes, and then we have subcommittees, so staff have joined a subcommittee to plan those programs. So we have Young Builder Series in February, which the theme was Ohio Work, so that's why I put it in the parentheses. The visit a vehicle can happen a couple times a year, both for
Is that for all the branches or specific branches?
So the Young Builder Series is going to be done at 5 branches,
okay.
Possibly 10, with the 5 programs repeating so that it's throughout. The visit a vehicle, we have to figure out which parking lot can accommodate, you know, both big vehicles and then guests coming.
You know, large can.
yeah. So some of these things lean toward Miami Township, Union Township, but then also trying to spread it out throughout the 10 branches. So it's planning that out. The local author showcase, they've done that years ago here at the Miami Township. They had like an author festival or reading, so we're trying to do that again in May. And then local sports series, and that was Ohio Plays. So we've looked at getting the mascots for the different teams as like a meet and greet. So like Mr. Red Leg or Rosie Red or Houday. So just some fun opportunities as well.
Great work. It's going to be an exciting list of programs.
No, I'll tell you.
Okay. Because we have some staff that are like, I'm not into sport.
There's a certain football quarterback that's going to be available for the next few,
right.
few weeks, right?
Yeah.
What are you saying about sports?
I was making a comment that there's a certain football quarterback that's going to be available with some free time on his hands.
He's not going to be playing.
Because he's not going to be playing.
But, yeah. Okay, so the committee updates are coming. Just a couple of things. The bylaw and policy review. I don't really need to go over this because it was just to explain the what was coming in your packet. Skipping on down to Dolly Parton Imagination Library, there's about a holding steady at that 63% enrollment rate, and we are working on creating a graduation event. So it's to keep the love of reading alive. So once kids graduate out and when they hit the 5th year birthday, we'd like to have parties at regionally and around the county to celebrate these kids. Acknowledge their accomplishment, have them get library cards, have them check out books, things like that, and give them a tour of the library, what have you. We want to keep it simple, but we want to bring them in and have them continue their journey of their love of books. So, low-hanging fruit, I wish we had done it a long time ago, but we're planning on March of 26 as our first launch, probably here. Getting back to the issues relating to taxes. They went over at the OLC meeting with the directors and fiscal officers, and I put you all the PowerPoint that they did. I think one of the things that I really wanted to bring to your attention is the legislation that's being proposed out there right now. They don't have these numbered, but it's the list of, it says it's the property taxes slide, current and recently introduced legislation. House Bill 335 eliminates inside millage. House Bill 355 increases voter thresholds. House Bill 420 eliminates continuing levies. I just want to make sure everyone understands that is our local property tax, is a continuing levy. The House bill states they want to include language to eliminate continuing levies the year 2030. That's 5 years from now. I don't know if this is ever going to get out of committee,
but it is in the House Ways and Means Committee right now. House Bill 421 allows voters to reduce inside millage. House Bill 422 increases voter threshold. And House Joint Committee is the amending of the Ohio's Constitution to limit property taxes. There is a group in northern Ohio that has started a campaign, the constitutional amendment to abolish property taxes. It's the Citizens for Property Tax Reform. They have been certified by the Ohio Ballot Board to collect signatures. They need over 400,000. They're pretty sure. I talked to Rep. Byrd last week, and also OLC is saying this too. They're pretty sure they're going to get their 400,000 signatures and that it will be on the ballot in 2026.
But those 400,000 signatures have to come from over, or at least 50% of the state, and meet a certain criteria, right, to...
They didn't say that, so I can't speak to that.
It's in the Constitution, it requires it.
Right.
Okay.
Constitutional amendment.
Well, I talked to Rep. Byrd last week, and OLC also shared this. There was a survey done, a poll done on whether or not this would pass, and 60% of the people voted that they would eliminate property tax. Part of this language in this bill, or the absence of the language of the bill, is how they're going to make whole libraries, parks, EMS.
How are they going to pay for anything that is currently being funded through that
mechanism? It's not even addressed in this.
And that's where this momentum has gotten as far as it has,
right?
Because people are just like, oh, the property taxes go away. Well, nothing's free. How are all these services that you're utilizing then going to be funded?
And
you're going to pay for it some way.
And all the property taxes have been voted on.
Right.
People have voted to say the libraries need money.
And not just the library, you know,
well,
EMS, MRDC, publisher, all, everything.
Senior services.
Yeah.
How does that affect it? You said that the levies that are continuing.
Yeah, with the grandfather.
They're doing away with property tax.
I think
continuing levies, short-term levies, all levies on property.
Only if it's included in the language, right?
It is, as I've seen it, it is included, all property tax.
So, this is...
stupid.
If you apply logic, this makes no sense.
Nope.
And these will be... I'm just going to go out on a limb and make a comment that's probably not politically correct, but any individual, in my opinion, that would support that is going to be the first individual that is upset that they're paying in a different manner for the services that they just lost through their property tax funding.
Not the only option would be sales tax to make up the difference. There is local government groups organizing opposition. OLC is part of it, county townships, DD boards, parks, municipalities, mayors, public safety. They're meeting every 2 weeks. This is something that kind of gets away from you. You think, how on earth could this happen? But they're working on making it happen. And I think the thing that scares me is it makes me nervous that the legislature, to be responsive to this, to try to handle this, is to create legislation about property taxes, which includes things like eliminating continuing levies. So,
which is 34% of our funding.
Mm-hmm.
It's been as much as 45% too. So it really, with the PLS, depending on where it's coming in. So it's something to be aware of and conscious of, and it lends itself really well to the strategic plan that Andrea's working on and that awareness piece, because so much of what you all need to do as board members and we need to do as staff is make people aware of this issue and advocate for the library and the services that we provide and that they have value, et cetera. So
prove that return on investment.
Exactly. So that is my update on that. So we'll add kind of an update as they become known. We'll share the OLC information with you monthly on the in the report.
Considering this is the fall regional meeting, is there a winter one? Are you meeting? Are they going to do anything? Are they going to keep their foot on the gas here?
Yes. Yes, they will keep their foot on the gas for sure. And as far as meetings with.
Will they relate that to you as the director and
yes.
fiscal officer? And
they
send
us an update.
And you can give us regular updates?
Yes.
No, so she's, you're getting a weekly update?
They're sending about weekly updates to the OLC does. And I wanted to just piggyback real quick on something that Chris said, because this wasn't evident when they first started talking about this change in the PLF. It made sense that since it's a line item in the budget now, we would be getting the same amount every month. That's not true, and we know that because they are taking out part of it to fund the State Library of Ohio six times a year they're taking out of it. Five monthly they're taking out for Oakland, monthly for the Library for the Blind, the Ohio Annan, Library Association is five times a year, and the regional library systems are five times a year. They're not all at the same time, so it's still going to fluctuate monthly what our PLF figure is. I just wanted to make sure we all were on the same page with that.
But do we have a...
Nope, not yet. They didn't give us an estimate for the rest of the year.
I'm looking for how much are we getting. I mean, it was in the bill itself that got passed that this is how much you're getting in 2026. Here's how much you're getting in 2027.
Except for all the other libraries, it doesn't say how much they're funding or spending the funds for those. So we don't know what that is.
Estimates for calendar year, since we're on a fiscal year, they're hoping to have estimates for fiscal year 2026 and 2027, but for the remainder of our calendar year, we don't have any. On your PLF sheet, it still says the latest estimate was from December of 2024. I'm going to just hide that next month. If you want to see it, you can, but it's no longer relevant. So we're
just hiding it.
So if we get the new year started, we won't have an actual estimate of what they expect us to get every month.
I would just hide it. Yeah, it's not a real number anymore.
I know.
So we'll keep you informed, but just know that you're needed to advocate for the library and bring awareness of this issue. I don't think we're hearing it as much down here on the southern side of the state as they have on the northern side of the state.
Are there plans to put on
the website?
Yes, I talked to Dot.
That's why I'm asking for either weekly or bi-weekly, so that people aren't going like, oh, I already read this, so that you know that bi-weekly you're looking, given the fact that would be 26 times, that you would be placing something on there.
Would it also maybe be possible if the library could create some like graphics on the benefits of the library and things like that we could share on social media?
Yeah, you have like that survey.
Might already be doing that, I don't know. But then if you could share them with us, then we can share them.
Yeah, I think that's all part of the strategic planning process. So yeah, I think that's a great idea. We had created a information about how we were funded as when it was at the time that the governor was looking at vetoing certain aspects of the bill. So now that we've got the new website, we're going to make more of an evergreen permanent page on the funding. And I like the idea of regular updates on there, so thank you for that.
I mean, I think, too, that ties into the updated trustees pages where we can talk to how important the library is and put that name with that face with that name and that background with that name and, again, reinforce that this is really important stuff. Sorry, I had to do that. Go ahead.
Thank you. All right, the next on my list is the 2026 holidays. We go over this now, you're wondering, why are we doing this so early? We do this now because so many of our other system dates are based around our board meeting dates and meeting room access, et cetera, et cetera. So we need to get these dates down so that we can be moving forward on planning, programming, and other system meetings. So we have the 2026 holidays. I think the only one that there's nothing out of surprise of the 2026 holidays. We just need a motion to approve those.
What about the, I'm sorry, really quickly. I know we usually use October 12th as that development day, but the library being open 10 to 5 on Christmas or New Year's Eve,
We always close at 5 on New Year's Eve, no matter what day it is. So if it's Friday or Saturday, we close at 5 regular hours. If it's Monday, we close at 5.
I just wanted to call that out because it's, you know, fine print down below. Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Humphrey, did I hear you make the motion to approve? Do I have a second?
Second.
Ms. Schluter seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion passes.
Thank you. And then the next one is the trustee meeting dates for 2026. Nothing out of the ordinary here except for December. The third Monday in December is December 21st. It's a terrible week to have a meeting. So I bumped it to December 14th. That's still a month away from the November 16th. It is a little bit harder for fiscal to end the month.
Close the month.
Close the month.
Well, we'll do our very best.
So that's the trustee days. And of course, I'll you know, bring these back to you later in the year again, just to have for you to have them. But
I'll make a motion to approve those dates.
Let me look really quickly at March here. Okay. I was looking at March, and because March has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Mondays in the month, and because we're bumping January and February due to the holidays to the fourth Monday, I wasn't sure if we wanted to adjust, but you've already adjusted. I mean, it's already kind of in the middle, so I just wanted to look at that. Thank you. Mr. Humphrey made a motion to approve the meeting dates as shown. Do we have a second on that motion?
Second.
Ms. Schluter is seconding again. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you. Motion passes. There you go.
And then the last item is the trustee bios for the website. You got your sheet. You can fill this out electronically. You can write it out and hand it in, however you want to do that.
And as long as it's done by our next board meeting.
Yeah, just like it by the October 20th board meeting. And then if you would like to add another question about your personal life and experiences, that would be great. And that's it.
All right. Any questions for our director? A lot of information, good information. I can't believe we're already talking about next year's schedule. All right. Committee report. So bylaw and policy review committee, we met on the 18th of August, right before our board meeting, and we reviewed, easy for me to say, four different policies that are in your packet. We're going to start with the virtual meeting policy. This is the one that we've been talking about, that we went back and forth with the prosecutor's office on to get some clarification. At the end of the day, we wanted to make sure that, based on our discussions with the board, that we were electing to do either all virtual or all in person with no hybrid in between because of the expenses entailed for the technology to do the hybrid, the additional work on staff, just in general, felt we're either going to go all virtual or all in person. And the reasons probably for all virtual we decided were emergency or unusual situations. Like if we have another pandemic and we have to meet that virtually again. So I'm not going to read this whole policy to you guys because you've had it in your packet. You've had a chance to review. And we've addressed any questions that council had. So I think that we are in good shape with this policy. Mr. Humphrey, I don't know if you want to add anything.
No.
All right. He does not want to add anything. So
I did have
questions.
Minor questions.
Sure.
On the very first section in the table, we're talking about significant hiring decisions. Does that not also include
I'll be honest, I can't remember the title. Is deputy director, does that not also include the deputy? Does that not also include the deputy director? No?
The reason why is because the only three positions that report to the board per ORC are those three positions, and the deputy fiscal officer is an optional reporting to the board, so that's why that wasn't included. Excellent question, though. Any other questions on this? Going once, going twice. All right, if it's okay with you guys, we'll wait and do the motion for approval of all of them at the end, just to be expedient. So the next item that we looked at was...
This is a new policy?
Yes.
Before. The others are all kind of amending.
Okay, we can do that.
And I'm just saying it might be a good idea to...
Absolutely. So do I have a motion to approve? This would be effective immediately. Approve the virtual meeting policy as shared in your packet.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Schluter?
Sorry.
Thank you. You too.
You can't
second.
Even imagine how many times I've written
Ms. Schluter makes the motion. Do I have a second?
You know what? You make it easy. I'll just make a second.
All right. 5 seconds.
It doesn't matter. We don't care.
No, it's good. And because this is a new policy, effective immediately, let's just go ahead and do a roll call vote, please.
Okay. Ms. Doss?
Yes.
Mr. Ramos?
Yes.
Ms. Waite?
Yes.
Ms. Kasika?
Yes.
Mr. Humphrey?
Yes.
Ms. Bach?
Yes.
Ms. Schluter?
Yes.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
All right, awesome. And Ms. Kasika, you noticed I said 3 times that it was effective immediately. I usually forget that part. All right.
You're just looking for all kinds of...
Kudos, no, I'm not looking for kudos. I'm just still fired up. All right, so HR policy manual, this is the tuition reimbursement portion, and you'll see there in the redline version, like, the only update was there was a change, I think. You help me out, Chris, on
so
the way that the employees are
rating. We don't use a point scoring anymore, so just the removal of
at least
3.0.
Yeah, okay. That's the only change.
Did we add the word policy?
What do you mean? Did we add this?
It just says update, and I'm like going, that one there, I'm referring down to the eligibility, the third.
It's eligibility. It is the third bullet. Employee must have a current satisfactory performance rating.
And that's the change.
Yeah, we're removing of at least
3.0. It's confusing. I'm thinking, you forgot to add the word policy?
Nope. So that's the only change.
When the committee got to see the 50-something pages of the HR policy, and that was the way to find it when you scroll through. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And that would also be effective immediately, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So we'll wait to, unless we want to go through the motion for each one. It's up to you guys.
I think we
wait. We'll wait. Okay. Next item then would be the trustee bylaws. So if you scroll.
Is there only one change?
Yes. Page 5, section 9.
Yep. And scroll. So section 9, we had a discrepancy between expectations that we signed at the beginning of the year and with this on what the percentage of the number of meetings that trustees are required to attend. So this has been trued up between those two documents, and this is in alignment with, requirements. So it's just changed from 70% to 75%.
If I remember right, you checked the code at the time.
Yep, we checked the ORC. And then the last one we reviewed during our meeting, we were very productive during that meeting, is the collection development policy. And we removed the word total under that general policy, first bullet, third line, free access to this material to the total community. Remove total just to say to the community. The next page, classification of materials. We wanted to address the language here talking about the possibility that the materials could come into the hands of minors and that the library shouldn't be expected to act in loco parentis, and just simplify that whole section to just say the library does not act in loco parentis. And those are the only two changes for that particular document. Any questions on that one? That also would be effective immediately. So, may I have a motion to approve those changes to the HR policy manual section on tuition reimbursement, CCPL trustee bylaws, and the collection development policy as noted?
So moved.
All right, Ms. Waite makes the motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Ramos seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion passes. Thank you so much. Now, I will turn it over to Ms. Waite for the building committee update.
Yes, we met on September 4th at the Batavia Branch, and the first thing we discussed was the mural, and the building committee suggested that we do have the mural put on the side of the library that faces Main Street, as opposed to the other two options. And we made sure that the name for the library would be framed and looked beautiful. And so maybe that would be our suggestion. And then...
do you want to open that up for discussion?
Any discussion about the mural, the easement, the responsibility, the design, anything?
What's the other? If it's three-sided, what's the other?
The other choice was on the right-hand side of the entrance.
Okay.
And then the third choice was on the cross street, which I don't remember the name of the street, but it would be
kind of hidden by the HVAC system is there, and
yeah,
the pine trees are,
and
there,
it's
so
much
smaller,
and it's in the shade a lot. And it would be on the facing the cross street, not Main Street.
So, building committee thinks this gives you the greatest visibility?
Definitely. And that obviously is the site that the artist would love to do. And that's the one that the committee, the America 250, would like. That's their original choice.
I'm just personally, it's identifying the library as the Williamsburg Branch, Mary G. Crossway,
yep,
whatever, is being contained within that mural,
mm-hmm,
and the fact that it will almost appear recessed, although I heard you say it would be blocked around it.
Our original, if I'm correct, the original lettering will remain. They'll just paint around it. Correct, Don?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
They will, they'll just block off and put a black panel behind, a black painting around the original letters that are currently there, and then just put a frame around that to express it.
Can that be lit in any kind of way?
There is a light that's on the ground that shines on the sign.
Can actually see it right now.
Yeah, I can see it there. So that would still
shine
on
the name of the library.
And did you... Was there some discussion about the fact that those letters are warped and need to be replaced?
Yeah, Don was talking about that
yes,
they need to be replaced.
We're working on getting those replaced. The letters that are there currently are so old, it's hard getting them replaced. There may be a cost to, if we're going to replace them, to replace that. I'm still waiting for the estimate, and the information is whether they can get replacements for the current lettering that is there, because they are a PVC-type lettering, and over the years, the heat and the weather has made them go wonky.
So, are you entertaining other materials for those letters, like
I've seen some in like aluminum or metal. Yeah, Mr. Humphrey just read my mind.
But we could go that direction with something that would be more substantial. I will throw that at them tomorrow.
Yeah, let's look into that.
Yeah, let's have some options.
Some metal.
Just replacing them with the same thing. And I'm not sure how long that library's been there, but I'm pretty sure I know how long it's been named Marion G. Croswell that had to be put on there. So
something a little more sturdy,
substantial,
so that we don't have.
And if we only have to do it once.
And if we're entertaining the idea of this mural, now's the time to do it.
Yep, right.
Because it looks like you've got opportunity to go a little bigger if you want. I'm just saying. Like if you want to.
It wouldn't affect it, but where is the electronic sign going in relation to this?
That's in your packet as well. So if you go to the page that has it's the bird's eye view. It shows the side of the building highlighted in orange. And then the sign is where it says proposed monument sign, ideal location. It's the one on the left on that corner, on a cat corner to the BP station.
Okay. So it's taking advantage of all
angles
on that
intersection.
End.
Yeah.
Versus this side of the building.
The straight on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then I get why that would not impact the easement then.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think as far as the books, you turn them from the rendering that you received in your packet to the one that I passed out.
Mm-hmm.
He's made them library books because he's put sign labels on them. I think we would want to make sure that the call numbers were correct. So we will check into that.
I also love that he made one of them an Indian book instead of taking out that.
Yeah, taking out the little.
Yeah.
So if you'll notice the titles, Andrea had looked it up. Can you share what the titles of the books were?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I did, but I closed it.
Oh.
Let me read it again. The artist is the red book, the one closest to the sign.
His name.
And then Wildcats, we talked about.
So a nod to the Williamsburg School District.
Mr. Ramos is a alumni. Shawnee Indians, Bullskin Trace,
yes.
Morgan's Raiders, and Harmony Hill. And then at the bottom you have America, 1776.
Established.
Part of this, my suggestion is the fonts on some of these are tricky to read.
I think once you see them in person,
you'll
probably be able to read them
better. U.S. Land Office. And then also they incorporated Browser and the library card and the boys book.
Yeah.
The boys book.
That is our library card.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's reading a book that's titled Williamsburg.
Yeah.
And then the book on the far left is a portrait of
Lytle.
Lytle.
Yeah.
And the Croswell bus and the boot.
Yeah.
I think the flag should be bigger.
So Judy, the Dewey Decimal System will be utilized on those bus call numbers.
Excellent. So glad there's something like, you know, that's historic, having the beginning, the genesis of it all.
So my thoughts on this are just, you know, 10 years down the road, if we decide to do this, 10 years down the road, you know, we're locked in with our 10 years. You heard me asking about the graffiti. Somebody decided to go spray paint something rude. We don't want that facing our main street for very long. Yeah, exactly. I just go straight for the really rude stuff, and we don't want to do that. So their response time on fixing that. So we would have to have, if we elected to do this, some kind of plan on how to cover it temporarily until they could come out and fix it. So that's not being viewed by the public going by. And then if we renew in 5 years, I don't know how many of us will be here.
Can I just ask about the time frame? I found that in reading over the agreement I had in my packet and whatever. What's the 10? It's the 250th anniversary, okay? And this is in concert with that. Why does it have to be 10 years? And then an additional 5 and then an additional 20 years to have this...
In talking with CVB, there's really a very significant amount of money that's being put into the preparation and actually performing these murals. And
so hence, that's the reason for the logos to be placed on there.
No, that's why they need to be there for a while, because they're investing.
I understand it's all about the money.
And this is grant money by the commission that the commissioners have received that they're trying to spend by the end of the year, right?
The estimated cost for this would be $17,200, okay? Which probably is not their...
Is that ARPA funding?
And who's that's from
the grant, and I think there's some donations from Williamsburg.
From the
And they said there was CVB money.
CVB money.
And Connect
Claremont. That's why their logo's going to be on there.
So we think about that, and we think, you know, 10 years from now, there will be a board meeting of trustees to determine whether they want to extend the agreement another 5 years, and then in 5 years, they'll have another one. So let's say long term, 20 years later, we have a mural that... How do you remove it?
They could either choose to continue to maintain it, or they can choose to paint over it or sandblast it.
Mm-hmm. And have we a good sense of what the results of sandblasting will do? Will we have any kind of impression on the brick sill after something is...
Well, with the sandblasting, it will not remove everything because... The paint will embed itself. It's going to have a sealer on it after it's and it will embed itself into the brick.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of it will be gone. There will be a lasting impression that will still be there that you'll see. And it's not going to be significant, but there will be something that you'll see there for long term.
So why can't we protect the brick itself before the mural goes on, so we don't have to worry about paint bleeding into and becoming a permanence to the building itself?
Well, all of our brick buildings have sealer on them. When they were built, they were required to put a seal coat on the brick to eliminate moisture leaking into the buildings.
I understand that. I'm just saying, depending on how old this building is, or any of the others, I mean, things deteriorate because they aren't permanent. Right? They have a permanent presence to them, supposedly. But my concern is, why if we had made sure or resealed it or whatever, so that there in 10 years' time these paints aren't going to be bleeding into.
There may not be as big of an impression then if it's resealed.
Depending upon what paint the artist is going to use too. Like, because if you seal it with a clear coat, if that sealant has to be a certain paint type, and then whatever paint the artist is going to use for the mural itself may not be able to go over that. If like trying to paint, you know, acrylic over oil, it doesn't work. It would just slide right off. So that might be a consideration as to why they're not prepping it that way before they paint. It's certainly a valid question for the artist.
Well, and actually, they say that the artist would be working on prepping all of the brick before he painted anyway.
That's what I have my call.
But prepping can be cleaning and not sealing.
Right, but I also think that was part of the discussion that the gentleman from CBC mentioned, is that the artist will take into consideration exactly what will maintain the paint the best. Did I misunderstand that?
I think that's correct.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's
so
for
the artist will come out and prep the brick exactly that will keep the paint.
That would be for maintaining the paint or the mural's integrity, but not necessarily
the integrity
helping us remove it when the time comes. And that's, I think, what the question is.
Well, I also think, just my opinion, 10 years down the road, I mean, I feel like the library needs all the goodwill it can get right now with the way things are politically. And
I guess
it's going to bring in a lot of people to the library, especially since they're planning on doing a mural tour. right? They mentioned that too. So once everything is up and running, the county will be planning on doing a real tour where they actually have a tour set up, a formal tour, a passport book where everybody can come and check out all the murals throughout the county.
And they'll have a big opening celebration.
Yeah, open and cutting
yeah.
And did we not talk last month about the Williamsburg branch and the community outreach because the community was uncertain about, you know, are you open, are you there, are you not? Like, what's the, and that would certainly get attention in a branch that's already expressed that they've gotten community feedback of uncertainty on what the availability is, especially in conjunction with the digital sign as well, which we can move forward with, which we know we're moving forward with, right?
Okay. Is that not going to be addressed with the new sign, the electronic sign there?
Partly, yeah.
And also the school, they're building a new school across the...
Yes,
so I know that there's a slim chance of them not renewing, but if I'm reading this right, if they decide not to renew after the 10 or the 15 years, then we are responsible still at that point, or 20 years.
Once that agreement's up, we
right.
are, we own it, we got to take care of it.
Not just them.
Yeah, we own it.
Yeah,
yeah, I get it.
We own it. We've got to take care of it. If we decide that we were going to erase it, we fund the erasure of it. If we have to repaint, and once you paint brick, my understanding is you keep painting brick.
Exactly.
So there's some maintenance involved with that going forward for in perpetuity as long as we use that building for that branch.
But on the other side, we're not having much outlay to begin with, so we're getting the benefits then we have to pay on the end.
I didn't hear you.
I said that on the other side of it, we're getting the benefit. We're really not having to pay anything out up front. Our portion will come at the end when we have to, if we ever take it down. So right now, we're not, if everything I've interpreted, we're not actually contributing anything and we're getting the benefit of it,
mm-hmm.
other than the building. So
I'd like to add, too, I was kind of reluctant at first to think about it because yes, once you're in. So I reached out to fellow directors and asked any of them if they had murals, what they thought was their upkeep or their issues. Nobody had anything negative to say. It really surprised me. I thought somebody would have said, you know, at least one person would have said, no, Brian, don't do it. But none of them did. They all said they were easy to upkeep. There wasn't any upkeep actually, but that it was a good community partner, good community draw, but they just had nothing negative to say about it. So I'm in favor of it. I think it puts kind of a fresh, fun look to the library. I think the fact that the boy is reading a book, and that was always on the original design, I think is important, and I think it'll help the branch become more noticed, or people will be coming by that area. I just think it's a good opportunity. And I know $17,000 is a lot of money, but if we have to redo a mural in 20 years, $17,000, $20,000 doesn't seem like, considering the size of our operating budget, like too terribly much for...
You mean if we still have property taxes?
Right, if the building is there, exactly.
So the other thing, too, is the fact that they're saying, you know, they'll be responsible for the upkeep, for any maintenance, for this time frame, it's kind of crazy when you think about this length of time because who knows what's going to happen to this local artist and, you know, like maybe he has to relocate and he's going to be across the country. Are they really going to fly him back in to come and touch us at home? You know, exactly. I didn't want to go there, but yeah, I mean, who knows what's going to happen.
We also
but
asked
there's
that question
still,
too, though, and
yeah.
They said that they would help us locate another artist.
Source another artist, and they're still responsible for that, so that's awesome. It wouldn't be awesome for that, you know, event, but that way we're covered. If we're going with different letters, if that ends up happening, maybe that background that's framing those letters could be a different color that makes them jump out even more, just a thought.
Black is the thing that makes anything jump out, though.
Well, yeah, and, you know.
One thing about the Williamsburg branch is it's an older-looking building, and it's not overly exciting, and this really does...
This really...
It's It's 1970s elementary school.
I understand the ups and the cost of that, but to me, as a patron and an employee of the library, this really gives us something exciting and fresh without any cost to us.
I try not to throw my personal opinions in here, but I think that the overall community outreach that we will receive from this mural will be to our benefit. I think that we need to do this. The cost is nothing to us until we get down the road, but just I feel that it's something that's going to draw more people in. We're going to have people going across the street or right out in the front. They're going to be taking pictures of this thing and everything else. And they're going to see Claremont County Library. It's just going to draw in more people that don't even know we're there.
Yep.
And I believe they also talked about the artist having some kind of program in the branch to talk about his process and how he did
how he does the murals and stuff
and
like
that. Will bring people in our door.
Well, if they take a photo, they've got to come in and get a library card. That's just the deal.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's part of like the America 250 program, and I'd like to host the artist to give spotlight on their work and allow the community to know who created the mural.
I mean, I can go either way, but I'm not voting on this, just see you guys.
I'd like to ask for a motion.
I'd like to see the final agreement, because I don't want to like that.
So we have that.
I just got it on my desk.
Yes. That just came in this afternoon. Jenny was had some suggestions, and she worked with Jeanette Maxey, and that is what is distributed at your tables. Jenny wanted to add a section on artwork, number 5. She added a sentence to the maintenance and repair of artwork and a sentence to the viewing of the artwork.
So that basically says that we have the final approval of the design. And
they want to definitely change the zip code on Williamsville, but it's incorrect. It should be 76, not 07.
Where is the zip code? It's under A, under recital.
It's also under notice.
Oh, I see.
And in section 13.
Chris, will somebody reach out to
us
to get that updated?
Can we defer the approval of this until the next meeting?
No. That's the problem, is they need to get it painted before the end.
Painted before the bad season. Weather
temperatures drop,
and they need to get that money spent by the end of the year, I believe, or at least recovered.
Yeah, we need to make an agreement, or we need to make a decision tonight.
So if they have an agreement, the money could be encumbered.
Yes.
So that would not be the issue.
But they want to get them before the bad weather.
The weather.
Do they think that they want to present this before now, September 15th?
We are not their first selection.
Yeah, we were the number one choice.
Yeah.
We're like number 2, or maybe number 3.
We're
not
three.
The first choice.
Of the group itself?
For Williamsburg property.
For Williamsburg. Where were the other two choices?
One of them was the old firehouse brewery location, which is further on down Main Street, and I don't know where the other locations
was
were.
Where was maybe Crossville?
Yes, Crosswell was the other one that they were talking about.
Okay.
And they were private entities, and neither one of them would agree to having it done on their buildings.
Well, the Paradise, the brewery, didn't actually own the building.
Right, exactly, yes.
And then I think Crosswell just went out and said no, if I'm remembering correctly.
So the library is actually the most prominent spot.
Main Street,
too. In the wall.
Yeah, compared to,
it's the perfect wall for it.
So
a
decision
has to
be made tonight. Yeah. So, Ms. Wade, go ahead and request your motion.
I would ask that we have a motion that we would go ahead with the America 250 mural to be put on the Williamsburg branch on the Main Street side of the building.
Ms. Wade, is that a motion?
Second.
That's a motion. I'm asking for that motion.
No, you're making it.
Oh, no, I'm asking.
Okay.
Okay, Julie. I've got first, Julie. Second,
Katie.
Okay, sorry. Katie. Sorry, right, it's Julie.
I don't know, but I'm looking for it.
Where did I get Julie?
Okay, who else has over here?
Maybe I knew a Julie Brock as a student. That's it. I had a Julie Brock as a student years ago.
And I just want to also add that within your motion, or let's make sure that the edit to the easement agreement, as we just pointed out, the change in the zip code,
okay.
You know, that information is sent to legal and that's updated as part of the agreement. And Mr. Ramos, you had your hand up. Sorry.
Which is the last rendering that you handed Chris, that is the final one?
No, I would like to make sure that we have updated call numbers so that those are accurate.
Okay.
I believe the lines through the call numbers is because he saw discarded books and he didn't realize that was our sign for a discarded book, so we need to get the black lines off the sign.
And I would also recommend that if it turns out that we're getting letters in a different material that might look a little different, that they look at that background that's framing it out, even though black does set off stuff, it's very stark against them. I'm sorry guys, this is my painter eye coming out, and maybe a navy blue. If it's a silver letter or something, would set that off better. So, like, just depending upon what we find out from the letters. Yeah, that background that frames out those letters.
Would that be in the artist's discretion, is that okay?
No.
Okay.
No, because we have to approve the final design.
Okay.
Well, that was part of my because of the time constraints, I would ask that the motion be modified to say that it's not going to get done until the building committee gives its final approval on the actual length. So that the building committee can get together pretty relatively quickly, as opposed to trying to get the whole board together.
Okay.
I'm fine with that, if you guys take that into consideration. And honestly, as far as I think the colors are pretty easy for you guys to direct them on. The background color is relatively, that could be something that's done even later in once he starts, right? That doesn't necessarily have to be done right away. So
I just want to make sure if we have, if I heard you correct, we have wonky letters on it. I want that all to be accomplished before we do the painting.
I don't know if that's possible.
I don't think that, I'm in agreement with you because we don't have any pricing on them. We don't have, you know, what the availability of them are or anything else at this point.
So are you saying that we're going to do all of that and we're going to begin it so that it's painted by the end of December and that we're then going to go in and replace those letters?
Potentially.
I can't say that because I don't...
No, I'm just asking the question.
Potentially.
That was a correct statement.
Potentially. So... Ideally, I would think, we would want to pull the letters, have them paint, put the letters back on, because you're not trying to paint around the letters, right, that are there. So if we're ordering new letters, I would think the ideal way to do it would be he would paint that, at least that blacked out portion or blocked out portion. And if we know what the replacement letter size is, even if we're getting aluminum or steel instead of wonky plastic that's going to undulate in the UV light over time. If we know that size, it's going to have the same footprint of the original letters. And he's not painting around brand new letters that he could then get paint on.
I'm just saying that it has to be, that we're ready to go with all of it, that we're just not piecemealing this. We've taken off the wonky letters and identifying the branch. And we've got this great painted mural, And it's like, okay, so where is this? I know hopefully we'll get the sign up as quickly as possible.
As I said, I don't know what the availability of the letters would be from the company that put them on there originally. That was, I believe it was Triumph that did the letters on there. I will have to check with them tomorrow to see what we have available, see if they, you know, if they have them in stock. They may have them on the shelf. I can't say that for sure. So that's where I need to get that information as to what time frame we're looking at for replacing those letters.
And we may not want to go with the plastic that we have today. We it sounds like we were talking about getting pricing on metal that's going to last a lot longer anyway. So that may change your sourcing.
And the type might be slightly different. They might have something that isn't the same exact font, same size and the point size, but the type might be slightly different. So we'll
just
have to
see. Comic Sans on
right.
Time with it, right?
It would look similar. You probably would never even be able to tell the difference, but it might be like Times New Roman versus something.
Arial,
yeah.
And also, to take into consideration is the mounting devices that hold them to the building. Mm-hmm. They have probably changed over the years. They've got a more improved that may not line up with the current holes and everything else that are holding them on the building. So that's where we'd have, then we have to investigate that part.
So depending upon how quick, and you can figure that out pretty quickly, what availability is. So maybe an option too would be, we know it's going to take us a while to get the actual replacement letters, can he paint the letters to tide us over until we can put the actual letters on top?
Could be.
If it finds out that our sourcing for the replacement letters is going to take a while, is it possible to entertain him painting the letters to tide us over until we can mount the letters on top?
You mean like a stem?
Because we would know the size. We're just waiting on getting them in, right? And then that way you'd still have the identifier of the branch.
Sure.
Just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
I
that's
think we ought to leave that into somebody's hands to take care of and get it done.
Yeah.
Because the library will be named and on the electronic sign that's going to be out there. So it's not going to be an unidentified building.
Well, that's what I was just asking about.
Mm-hmm.
Will we have the electronic sign we authorized last month? Is it going to be up? And when?
And you said six to eight weeks.
From when we authorized?
When we submitted to the vendor.
And which we could do tomorrow. Because you've got approval and we know we don't have to put it out the bid.
We can do it tomorrow,
yeah.
Yes.
And get it going.
Oh, so we haven't done it yet.
Evidently not.
Because
so.
We thought we had to put it out the bid. Because that's what we were told. So now we've learned, what, today?
Before
that we don't have to do that.
Yeah, very recently.
Now it's like who's on first and what's on second.
Speaking of first and second, we have
a first.
A motion. We have a first with Ms. Bach. Do we have a second?
Second, Schluter.
Ms. Schluter is during your second, Mary Jo.
Got it.
Do you want to, I would like a roll call vote on this one, though.
And can we state what the actual
motion
is
for
the meeting minutes?
The motion was that we approve the American 250 mural on the Williamsburg Ranch with on the Main Street side with the building committee's final approval of the rendering and the agreement. How's that sound?
The
easement agreement.
Okay. Got it.
Do you
want to
read it back?
Knowing that the easement agreement has to be sent back to legal because of the discrepancies about the zip code.
The amended easement agreement.
Yeah, the amended easement agreement.
Do you want to read it back?
No, I'm good.
She's good.
Got it. Can we do a roll call vote?
Yes, we will do a roll call.
So we had Ms. Bach through there.
She first did it.
So, Mary Jo, I'm going to ask for a roll call vote. So we have that on file.
Okay.
Ms. Bach?
Yes.
Mr. Ramos?
Yes.
Ms. Waite?
Yes.
Ms. Kosica?
Present.
Mr. Humphrey?
Yes.
Ms. Bach?
Yes.
Ms. Schluter?
Yes.
There you go. Thank you. All right. Ms. Waite, you're up to talk about Batavia Branch.
Well, then we discussed looking at property, perhaps, to build a new Batavia Branch. And there just isn't a whole lot available in the village. So we were thinking about maybe looking at the opportunity of building where we are on the current lot. And then, you know, then we looked, so we looked at different lot parcels adjacent to the library so that we could perhaps expand into the parking lot, but then you could buy some land behind it so that you could get the driveway and a drive-through and a book drop and everything. So that's the next step we were looking at. And we looked at some of the plots. There was could be a 2-acre plot coming up for sale on Main Street, which would just be beyond where 5th Street turns, or so when you go straight up the hill. So there'd be a 2-acre lot coming up there for purchase.
On Main Street.
On Main Street.
Would that be to one of the build on that lot?
That would be that you could build on that.
Up the hill?
Up the hill.
But people that walk up that hill?
If I saw a lot, I'm not sure which lot it is, it's not, you'd have to do a lot of grading because it's not very level.
Okay.
Yeah, the excavation cost would probably be exorbitant
I was told that to tear down the existing library would cost more than, you know, than building a new one.
Demolition
is very expensive.
You've got EPA, you've got zoning, you're right there in the village, there's like all kinds of stuff.
So,
I'm sure the materials in that building.
And this is my personal opinion, I didn't know what the option would be if you just added on to the existing building. Well, that is being, you know, you wouldn't have to tear it down, you just add on to it.
So I have a few questions.
So do I.
So it sounds, and honestly, I'm just going to say it right now, like considering our fiscal uncertainty with funding, and we aren't paying this guy off until next year in the fall, when
September
of next year, and so we're a year out from having this branch paid off. I hesitate to say, hey, full steam ahead, let's rebuild. But what I do think is important is to make an informed decision about which branches require renovation or updates. We know we have a couple of other branches in our suite of 10 branches that are going to require some renovations. I think Union Township is one of those. I believe Amelia is another one. What are those door counts?
New Richmond.
Okay.
I mean, every branch we rotate through so that there's a refresh.
But Union Township has not had a refresh.
It's had a refresh,
but it's not had any renovations.
Well, what we call renovations is probably different than what you mean in terms of
a new roof is repair,
right?
In my opinion. And to have them put back at the end of the line again after having nothing but paint and carpeting,
so
I think they deserve a little bit more than that.
So I'm not suggesting they put back at the end of the line, but I think what needs to happen to make that decision, it needs to be an informed decision of what we need to do. We need more info.
We do.
How much is it going to cost to tear down the building and build a new one there? How much are all these different options that the building committee is bringing to the board to entertain? How much is that all going to cost? Like, what do all those options cost?
I don't know, and I'd have to find out. And I don't know responsibility to go ahead and on my own and ask these questions and find out this information.
I think that's the building committee's, I mean, if the building committee is entertaining or suggesting, making a proposal that we look at replacing the Batavia branch, what research has the committee
done to look at what those costs might entail. Because I asked that question because when we talked about this last year, and there was going to be new apartments built, and hey, there's a lot next to where this new apartment building is going to be built. Maybe we could entertain buying that. You guys were doing research on what the real estate options were and how much those cost. Well, we wouldn't want to build there anyway. The whole point of the behavior branch is that it's walkable, and that location would not be a lot walkable.
You know where the new apartments are is walkable. It's right there on Main Street next to the river.
I thought they were going by where the old Red Barn
that's
location
it.
Was.
Yeah. That's it. It's walkable. Very easy.
Yeah. Well, it's walkable across that bridge.
Just across the bridge. There's a sidewalk there.
That Red Barn was closer to 32.
That's how you have to go, like, about.
But
it's actually
just
that
far.
It's a long walk.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm like, I'm envisioning it totally there.
It's by the guy.
No, it's out past. It's out past the town property.
Yeah.
It's out off of,
So I think my point is, we have 10 branches. We need to ensure that the rotation is fair. And that it's accommodating those branches that are getting the most traffic or could benefit a branch to garner more traffic. That's all part and parcel of it. The tape is right there in there with that list of 10. But I think the board needs to get more information of what would these options entail. How much does this cost? What are we looking at? And knowing that we're at risk of losing potential levy funding, 34%. Of our funding, 245 potentially, 34 to 45% of our funding, and with the PLF being a line item, that's going to fluctuate as well. Even though we know the total amount, but we don't know the total amount, the subtotal. We know the total, not the subtotal. I want to make sure that we're being as thoughtful in our choices as possible. That doesn't mean my thought is, no, we're not going to do that. I just want us to all make a really good, informed decision, and I don't know enough yet based on what you guys have said.
Okay. The discussion in the past had perpetually is accessibility and visibility and wanting Main Street. Now, this is the first time I've heard about something that's in the general vicinity of where we are now, but it's on Main Street. It's just up the hill.
Yeah, it wouldn't be real visible.
It would be more visible than
where we are now, that's for sure.
Okay.
Would it be accessible?
Really. It really wouldn't. I used to walk up that hill as part of it for exercise.
My question is, that wasn't in any of the discussions we had in the past regarding a new Batavia branch. My question is there any other property on Main Street from, from the UDF at 132 and Main Street right before or I'm going to date myself, where the auto department used to be.
Yeah, I know.
Joe Weiler. Right. So is there anything there that we are aware? I mean, we didn't know anything until you just brought it. If you just met on September 4th or 5th to know about this particular piece of property, I'm just saying, given the economy, given everything that's there, and change of properties, is there something else that that might be available? I'd like to explore that before we just say, okay, we would tear down the existing building, and where would Batavia's branch be?
Exactly.
I mean, I'm just saying, where would you temporarily house Batavia?
Batavia would be closed down until that was, The other thing is, if you're thinking about, all right, is it something that you could renovate, like a true renovation of that branch, and you're rebuilding or adding onto it or expanding to it, you need a structural engineer to come in and say, hey, is this building sturdy enough to do that? Like, what does that entail? What would that entail? These are all
thoughts we have. We did have somebody come in because we were talking about expanding that what we call, I guess, I'm going to call it the administrative office, or where the...
Because the elevation is different.
Right, the distancing and the weight bearing and all of that. We did have some of that work done because we were talking about that, because it would have been excellent to, and then if there is additional property to purchase or buy, to further expand it, because it's I don't even know what the permit level is for number of people in the building.
So would it be possible then for the building committee to work with our facilities department on trying to determine what some of these ballpark costs would be?
Mm-hmm.
Could we do that as a next step?
Work with
facilities, yeah. and you know, like, take those different options and bullet point them, I hear you, Ernie, and then do those estimated costs that will help us decide what this direction we want to go in.
Yeah, I'd ask Tavia's building to figure out what it is we do.
All the components.
Yes,
Mr. Ramos, sir, you've been very patient.
It sounds like, though, going back to where you were starting to talk about things, that you're more concerned or interested in finding out, looking at all of our 10 branches, where are we going to get the best bang for the money, as opposed to, and maybe that's the question we need to answer first of all to everybody's satisfaction before we start spending the time on other property or the cost of things for the Batavia branch. If that's not going to be the priority, then I'd rather not spend my time doing that until we make that initial determination.
So we do have a rotation in play for our plan of what branches get the refresh. It's on a rotational basis, right? And so we know that Union Township's coming up for a refresh. That's going to be expensive.
UTs do, and actually we've talked about it. We think it should be deferred until after the construction of the flyover, because just really not sure what that's going to do. I'm a little worried about that floor, and you know that,
mm-hmm.
well, those cracks come back because of new water flow or
whatever. Little miniature earthquakes that are occurring from all the construction.
Yeah, who knows? But yeah. I think, honestly, I think we can do some things. We need to address the study rooms and the need for study rooms in there without replacing all of the flooring, you know, that kind of thing. But that's going to be a big, expensive branch to reno. New Richmond is one that hasn't been, but Amelia has been. It's been a while. Batavia's been done. Bethel has been done. Felicity's been done. Goshen's been done. Obviously, Miami Township. So, and Owensville's been done. Williamsburg's been done, kind of piecemeal. So it just all starts all over again. You know, by then the carpet's worn out or there's gouges in the
right,
walls.
Right, that's why it's rotational.
People have different needs. From next, in our packet next month, that we could have a list of what has to be done and prioritize it. Like, okay, first, second, third, what has to be done and the estimated cost for that?
We can try, yeah.
I'm just saying, we're going to be talking specifics and not, this one needs a room or this one needs a parking lot. I mean, it's a piecemeal.
I think the important thing is a distinction here between construction and new build,
right,
and a rotation of a refresh. Those are two different things. Even if we build a new building, we're going to have to refresh that branch in 10, 15 years afterwards. So the board is going to have to decide if it wants to commit the money to buy and invest in a new construction. We've got two buildings that really could stand to be redone, Amelia and Batavia. Those are the two. But it's expensive, you know, obviously, and the refreshes themselves are expensive. So, and then you add on just the maintenance costs of new roofs that are $400,000 and asphalt. So there's a bunch of different things that you have to consider in terms of this project.
It's cost improvements, but it's also the unsettling through next December of when the legislature can come in and take those vetoes and bring them right back up. And so it's
through December 26th.
Yes, I know,
right, next December. And the thing with this that we're talking about with the refreshes, you know, the parking lot resealing, the, you know, the bathing of New Richmond, the outside washing that it has to have because of the texture of the walls and stuff. All these things are normal operating course of business items. New build is not. So to your point, Ernie, I don't lump those together. I'm just acknowledging the fact that we have a rotation of
one
normal operating costs that we have to make sure that we're in. And so new construction would be a separate bucket for sure. Absolutely.
But I'm not interested in being a separate.
No. I mean, we need to give it some love.
I've been 100% behind it. If we can find a place that is... And that was before we got into this situation with whatever the legislature...
Right.
And if it makes sense fiscally as well. I mean, let's face it. Are we going to spend millions and millions of dollars on a brand new building knowing that our funding may be drying up? And what is the best use of the community's dollars and giving them the library services? Like, is it a brand new branch in Batavia and incurring that debt? Is it balancing the funds that we have to make sure that we're covered with all those maintenance items that we have to do for the capital projects through the other, or through all the 10 branches, because they're in that bucket as well? I just want to make sure that we're making informed decisions, and I feel like I don't really know what kind of costs we're talking about. I have no idea. So I think we need more information to really talk through, like, where do we want to, what do we want to do? What do we want to entertain here? And what can we do?
Jen, I'm also a little concerned about the optics of a new building. We're just telling everyone that we need to support our library, don't cut our funding.
Exactly.
And then...
Oh, but hey, we're
way off the going now. We're
building a new branch.
I'm not saying we all agree that Batavia is in need of something different, and we'd love for it to be different for them, but I'm not sure.
You've got to entertain the political component to this as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. We are now a line item in the budget,
yeah.
And we all know how easily line items can be eliminated.
So when I say political item, the political spin or the political presentation of how are we being the stewards of the dollars that our county taxpayers are giving us, and is that going to alienate them, or is that going to be like, hey, they're investing in the library system, they're investing in this, like, because that's one branch, and like, we still have nine others, like, how are those communities going
to
feel?
State of the economy and where people are figuring out, wait a second, my electric bill, my gas bill, in fact, when they were going through the list on the system, I had one thing that had not increased. Just this year, you know, and where is that coming from, and what are the other increases going to be? It's unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
There's
uncertainty.
No,
really
things are increasing for all of the 10 locations we already have.
Right, our electric bills are going up at each branch. Or, you know, like, so the maintenance, those operational costs are going up. I don't want to come across as being like, we're not doing that. That's not my decision to make. My direction to this board, we make informed decisions. So we've got to have the research and that background information.
The cost,
so I think
the estimated cost of demolition.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
And the cost of a lot around there,
yeah.
We suggested.
And potential for a structural engineer, how much would that cost to come in and assess the building to see what can we do?
I would strongly recommend, if we're going to do anything, we can't use that old administrative offices.
Thank you.
We have to just tear it down.
And that's what the structural engineer would say.
What's wrong with
how's viable, how viable is the rest
part
of the building?
Well, it won't. So it's two different elevations, so you would have to have a lift or stairs to utilize it. But the weight lift of utilizing that second floor, it's also, it's just a wooden, help me. There's a crawl space underneath. You couldn't put any stacks on that.
No, I was thinking that maybe that could be used for staff work area because they've got no room.
But you also have to be available to the public. You can't be in a separate building.
No. So there used to be a door.
Right, but that's not accessible now, though. With ADA compliance, we would have to put in a lift. That's what we've already done that.
Even if it's not open to the public?
No, we have to have ADA compliance for our employees.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, those rules apply to our staff as well as the public.
And we really need to address the lack of meeting room space in that, you know, for Batavia. So I think it's a good idea to raise that building and look at some of those properties surrounding. And I don't know what the expense is to raise a building, but I think
we're gonna find out.
I think that's the I think that makes sense that the people know where it is. It's been there for a long time. In a new building, we can address that flat roof. It's never
and
built a flat roof again.
I was gonna say, if we are gonna go down that path, we determine that's what we want to do. We are not building anything that's got any kind of wonky roof. We're not doing bevel roof. We're not doing flat roof. We're just going to be, we're not getting fancy with the roof.
If you tear that down, with the house put on the other side, do you think there'd be enough land to build? Because you're talking like a drive-through, like you...
I think we have to look at that. We didn't really get into the design, you know. I think that my husband worked at the Clifton Library forever, and there was no parking. You parked on the street. So I know it can happen. So, but there was, during the time when we were looking at Batavia and combining with Owensville, somebody came forward and offered their property to be turned into a parking lot. You know, that person could still be out there.
Yeah.
So the shape of the building could change. We could build into the existing lot that staff park in and expand the footprint so that you can have bigger meeting rooms. Meeting space locations. That's what people are wanting too. That's part of the refresh. Is also addressing, you know,
table
shop and plug-in community needs. You know, all of those things where libraries have to evolve.
We could expand the genealogy section.
Yes.
Because it's like.
Yeah. So these are all awesome aspirational things, but we got to start with what's the research say it's going to cost. And I think it's fantastic that I volunteered Dawn to work with the building committee to try and help identify what those costs would be.
I just changed my retirement.
No.
Tomorrow.
No. So thank you.
I need to add something in here for Mary Jo.
Yeah.
You need to also include a thorough inspection because of the age of the building.
Mm-hmm.
If there has not been an asbestos, bad word, is abatement done in that building, that is an outrageous amount of money for any type of renovation in that building.
Mm-hmm.
Or rehab.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's why I mentioned EPA.
Right.
Because,
yeah.
All right. I think we have
got a lot of homework.
I think that's been an awesome discussion. Thank you for bringing that to the board. Any other comments or questions?
I would like the size of the lot. Where the Batavia branch is,
mm-hmm.
in size wise, so that we know this is what we currently have.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I'll
that's,
look it up.
That's.
I'm just saying,
it's on the elevator
call. I'm sure it is. I'm just saying, if we could have that included in the October packet.
All the research stuff. Okay, excellent. Thank you very much. We are going to go ahead with the rest of our agenda, which is new business, which will be as I call my dog when she goes outside. Quick. We're going to do this quick. Resolution 2025-22, which is the acceptance of gifts to the library donations as listed. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Ms. Kasika makes the motion. Do I have a second?
Second, Box.
Ms. Box seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion passes. Thank you. And the second one is Resolution 2025-23. This is my favorite, the disposal of unneeded or obsolete library inventory. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Humphrey makes a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Ms. Waite seconds. May I have a roll call vote, please?
Ms. Doss?
Yes.
Mr. Ramos?
Yes.
Ms. Waite?
Yes.
Ms. Kasika?
Yes.
Mr. Humphrey?
Yes.
Ms. Bach?
Yes.
Ms. Schluter?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. As far as the administrative or housekeeping items, just don't forget, next meeting is October 20th. If you want to, don't forget to bring your trustee bio profile to that meeting. It's not quite Halloween at that point, but if you want to come in costume, that's fine too. I'll entertain it. Yeah, exactly. That'll make for a very interesting photo. Do I have a motion to adjourn? All right, Ms. Bach makes a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, Mr. Humphrey seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
We are going to adjourn. Any opposed? At this point, I don't think so. All right, we're going to adjourn at 8:17 p.m. Thank you very much for your time.
I have your thing signed over here.
I will sign, but I need your pen because for some reason I brought a red pen tonight, which is very weird.